What a great God we serve. Amen. Amen. Thanks for everyone being here. And I appreciate our the worship. Appreciate the children singing. That was one of their songs from the Vacation Bible School week. It looks like they were having a lot of fun. We want to, again, go right into what we've been talking about here for the last several weeks. I'm not sure how long we've been in this, but it's probably been 10, 11 weeks, maybe 12 weeks or so. And we got about that many more weeks to go. So we're trying to hit the middle somehow. I know we don't have a lot. We're in the fourth chapter of Galatians, and we're looking at Galatians, understanding Galatians in light of Torah. And we're now on the new covenant, or the Brit Hadishah, the Brit Hadishah. We talked about the old covenant the last couple weeks. If you didn't hear that, it's going to be tough for you to get a hold of what I'm going to say today without listening to the last few, at least the last few tapes concerning the old covenant and what did it mean. Now, we read in Hebrew, in Galatians 4, he said that it's an allegory talking about Hagar, Ishmael, in the bondage. That's under the old covenant. That's a product of the flesh. And then we have Sarah, Isaac, which is a freedom, which is a product of promise. There are two covenants. Now, when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai in the Shavuot, they said to Moses, "You speak with us, but let not God speak with us." Later on, we find that God agreed with that. That was, we think it is a bad thing, but God said it's a good thing that they said that. Because it's going to be a type. You're going to be the mediator. So under the old covenant, we have a mediator. And his name was Moses or Moshe. He was the mediator. But how many under the new covenant we have a mediator? That's why God let it go. Because he knew under the new covenant we'd also have a mediator. So we talked about several things under the old covenant. Last night I talked about location. Location. The location that we talked about last night changed from the tabernacle or the temple to where? To the heart. Under the old covenant, where is the Torah rest, or where does the word of God reside, or the presence of God? It resides in the tabernacle, in the holies of holies between the cherubim. That's where it's at. It's the most holy place. But under the new covenant, where does the presence of God rest? In our hearts. It's an amazing thing. See, that's why you can't call it a renewed covenant. It's not renewed, it's new. They had another way, and now they got a new way. How many understand that? Now, what's written in the tables of our heart? We talked about it last night. The commandments of God. It's not a different command. See, that's the problem the church got into, is we called it new, and it was everything, so we just went with new, the word new. Well, when you're on your way with the word new, you got to make up new things. And then so you add whatever you want to add. And you start doing things that the scripture never endorsed or said for us to do. The thing that's new is that one time it was on tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on the new covenant, it's written in the tables of our heart by the Spirit of God. It's the same thing written, but it's now located in a more personal way. Before, you had to go to a certain place in order to be in his presence. Now, his presence is where you are. That's pretty incredible. I don't know if you realize, but that seems new to me. Well, with that being said, we're going to move on a little bit from where we left off last night, and we're going to go a little bit further and look at a couple more of these. I'm hoping I can get through several of these today, maybe two of them, but we'll see what happens here. So the new covenant components, number one is location. We looked at that last night. That's the heart. From the tabernacle, the temple, the most holy place, between the cherubims, into the heart. Know you not that you are the temple? How many understand that? We're the temple now of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 11. We're going to look at that. Go through verse 18. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship, that word fellowship there, we need to understand that, what fellowship or what koinonia hath the righteous with the unrighteous? What koinonia has the righteous with the unrighteous? And what communion, again, that word again, what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Messiah with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of Elohim with idols? Now we're getting somewhere because all these questions are important. What agreement hath the temple of Elohim with idols? For ye are the temple of the living Elohim. You and I are the temple. So what agreement does you and I have to do with idols? So if it has a tendency to be associated with the idol, then how is it that we can be a participant in it? We might say, well, you know, well, some folks do it this way and some do it that way. That doesn't change the fact that we're under the new covenant. And God has a system and a format in which he says, and he lays it out here. Now, who is he talking to, Paul? This is his first letter to the church at Corinth. He's talking about uncircumcised Gentiles. And he's telling them, a Jew, he is a Pharisee of Pharisees, and nobody more Jewish than Paul. He was more trained and understood the Torah. He was very learned in these subjects. But here he is coming out with such a statement. Do you understand that the people that were hearing this, that were Jewish around him, they were floored. He just told the Corinthians, uncircumcised Gentiles, that he says, for you are the temple of the living Elohim. That's unheard of, that type of talk. They were still having the tabernacle. They still had the mercy seat and the cherubims and the covenants and the command. All that was there, and only the high priest could go in. That was a system that God allowed to begin with. It was an old covenant. But that system is not in place anymore. I mean, understand that. That's a system that was in place that God allowed to happen. But now we're under a new covenant. He said, no, you're not, that you are the temple of Elohim. Well, that changes things, don't it? That changes a lot of things. See, here's what we have a tendency to do. We think we can come to this place, this physical place, and somehow we can be in God's presence. That's not where he's at. He's not in the physical place. If he wanted to be in a physical place, he'd have kept the old covenant. He wants to be in our hearts. It's about a relationship. He wants to get to know you, and you and I need to get to know him. The whole theme of the Bible is Christ is trying to point us to the Father, to getting to know him. And there's no better way to know about him than studying his word, looking at what he says. As Elohim has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Remember, we started last night with the prophet Jeremiah. Said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will have make a new covenant, not the old covenant. Then he goes on and says, not the old covenant, not the covenant that exists. So if it's not that, then it has to be something what? New. Not renewed, new. He's not fixing it, because if he fixes what the old covenant said, that means that old covenant was broke to begin with. It was never broke. It was instituted as a carrier to bring us to something that God had already planned ahead of time before man failed. That's an amazing thing. When you think about the love of God, how incredible he is. Wherefore, come out from among them. Do what? Come out from among them. What I just read, he says, what? How could we be unequally yoked with those who are in opposition or opposing what God's commands say? It's not going to work. So he says what? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, wow. He said, if you touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. What makes things unclean? What about meat? We'll go to meat. He said, if the meat's offered to an idol, then that meat is what? It's unclean. I don't care if it's clean. It could be the meat you can eat that the scripture says you can eat, but if it's offered to an idol, it becomes what? Unclean. Can he receive it? No. So if we offer ourselves up for that type of aligning, maybe we might align ourselves with something that sounds good. It appears to be good. I don't feel like it's hurting anybody. Align yourself with that, it becomes unclean because it's offered to an idol. How many want him at a distance? See, if he's at a distance, it feels better. When Moses had to go in the presence of God, he had to leave from his own dwelling and go to the dwelling place of Elohim. He had to go there. And when he got in there, the glory of the Lord appeared to him in that place. That's not what happens anymore. What God wants to do, he wants to dwell in us. I don't care if you're here, over there, or if you go to Timbuktu, he's there. I mean, understand that. That's a relationship. To me, that excites me to know that God wants to be where I am. Now, with that being said, there's some things that we have to make sure that we are prepared for the dwelling of Elohim in our own life. One of those things, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Well, we think that's a physical thing. But we got to be separate from our beliefs. From what we adhere to when it comes to Scripture. What are we going by then? Remember last night I told you what he did. He took his finger, he wrote the commandments, and it was a record. That's why it was written on tablets of stone. It was a recorded record, front and back. Now he writes it in the flesh of the tables of our heart. That's a record also. We can you know, because we don't have it written in stone, we may not want to admit it's a record, but that's a record. It's recorded. Well, you're going to be able to tell if it's recorded in your heart. I'm going faster than I should right now. Just keep that thought. Verse 18. And I will be a father unto you. A what? I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahweh Almighty. I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Does that do anything for you? If that ain't a shout moment, I don't know where if I can find one for you today. But we were nothing and nobodies. We were bound to death. We had no way out. We were drowning in our own iniquities and trespasses. For we all sin and come short of the glory. But thanks be to the Most High, he gave us a Savior. Someone who can rescue me, get me out of that situation I was in. I couldn't help myself. I tried to help me. I couldn't do it. You can't do it. But thanks be to God, he sent a Savior for us. Amen? And I'm thankful for him. What makes the new covenant possible? What makes the new covenant possible? How is it transferred from tablets of stone to our hearts? The answer is faith. That's how it's transferred from tablets of stone to our hearts, by faith. That's very important. That's why you got to have faith. He said, without faith, you can't please God. It's impossible. Now, he uses, listen, if we use impossible, that's a limited definition. If I say it's impossible, that's based upon what I believe I can do. But if God uses impossible, how many understand it's impossible? If I say it's impossible, somebody might come along and they have the capability of doing what I think is impossible, and they get it done. Does that mean what I said was impossible was impossible? Well, no. Somebody else, they had the know-how and the wherewith to come and get it done. But if God says it's impossible, you better count on it. It can't be done. And he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's what we're trying to do. We can sing all the songs we can get. But if we don't have faith, we can't please him. We can read all the books and all the chapters and all the verses, but without faith, we can't please him. We can go to church every time the doors are open, but without faith, we can't please him. There might be sometimes you can't make it. There might be sometimes you didn't read everything. There might be sometimes you didn't have a song in you. But I'm going to tell you, if you can just dig down a little bit, deep down and get a little faith, you'll be okay because you'll please the Father. It's your faith that's been keeping you. It's your faith, your trust in him. That's what he wants to see. The answer is faith. John 7:37 says this, "In the last days, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now he's at a feast. This is a feast that Yeshua is at himself. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the one that we call the Feast of Booths. It's the last one, and it's the last day of that feast, so it's the eighth day. We know those things because we've studied those things. We've been participating in those things. So this is not foreign to you. Think about it. Now you read this, you have something to go on. You know what they're talking about. When he says the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now that belly there is the innermost being. It's the innermost part. It associates itself with the heart of man. Now, he writes it in the heart, but you got to believe what's been written in you. It takes faith. It's an activator. It activates that. You know what God said to be true. You believe what God said to be true. The next thing you have to do is you have to act upon it. Step out in it. That's faith. If you can't step out in what you know is true, your mind has just taken you on a journey of disbelief. You can't trust God enough. And that's where it happens, in the battles here in the mind. Now watch what he says in the next verse, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. He spoke of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. When he heard these words, of a truth, this is the prophet. How many see that? Very important. Now look at Exodus 31, verse 18. We're going through this quickly. Keep up with these scriptures. If you don't get them all wrote, they'll be available to you. You just have to get them after service. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of Elohim. Notice what he did. He calls them what? Testimonies. He's communing with him. So I want you to keep that in mind. He calls them a testimony. It's the covenant. He gives them the Torah. He said, here's the commandments. They're written with the finger of God. Notice that. Luke 11 and 20. Notice what's said here. But if with the finger of Elohim, because they're accusing Yeshua of casting out demons by Beelzebub. That's what they're accusing him of. He said, but if with the finger of Elohim cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of Yahweh has come upon you. He says, if I cast them out with the finger of Elohim. So he makes a reference to that same Exodus reference with the finger of Elohim. Matthew, same account. He records this, Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Yahweh. Now, I mentioned this, but I didn't show you. I mentioned this last night, and I also mentioned it last Sunday. But I wanted to show you in the slide that the finger of Elohim and the Spirit of Yahweh are the same thing. They're making the same reference. By the Spirit of Yahweh, then the kingdom of Yahweh has come unto you. That's an important thing, because how is it transferred from the old covenant, which is on tablets of stone, to the new covenant, which is in the flesh of the tables of our heart, is by the Spirit of Elohim. It's by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Let's look at it. We'll see how many we'll get through here. We want to get through as many as possible, or we'll have a stop point here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua had made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice that. Notice what it says. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Yeshua had made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a transfer happened. Not something renewed, but a brand new thing. I was once under the Hagar, Ishmael, bondage covenant, which is a product of the flesh. But now I'm under the Sarah, Isaac, freedom, the product of promise, is what I'm under now. How many of you know if you've been promised something, if I promise you something, do you have it? No, I wouldn't have to promise it to you because you already have it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You've been promised something. If you already got it, you don't need to hope for it anymore. Understand that. You're hoping for it because you know it's there. Now, you received it by what? Faith. And it will come to its fruition. It will. And you know that. And that's what makes you want to shout hallelujah. The days you don't want to shout hallelujah, you kind of give up on that. How many of you ever have a give up moment? You were going good, but then you had a give up moment. And your faith kind of crashed on you. Well, you just got to muster it up again. You do it through committing your life to the Lord and spending time with Him. And you go reading the Scripture, and all of a sudden you get that Scripture that gets you going again. Well, that's not something strange. If it's happened to you, maybe it's happened to you multiple times. Maybe it's happening to you right now. Well, you're not alone. It happens to everybody. Everybody experiences that. But if you want, if you're after it, if you desire it, and you want it, what do you want and what are you after? Well, everybody says, well, I just want to go to heaven. Well, if that's all you want to do, you're selling yourself short. If that's your goal, that you want to just go to heaven, that's not what God wants. What He wants is to be your Father. How many understand that? There's a big, when He becomes your Father, your whole life changes. When you realize that He owns everything. Some of you know some people out there, you know, I tell you what, if Bill Gates wants to be my daddy, he can. Right? He's one of the richest men in the world. You know, if he comes up to me and says, you're my son, I'm going to say, yes, sir. There's a reason, because if I'm his son, then I'm heir. Well, let me just tell you, if that'll move you, what about when the Most High, the one that stepped out of time, He stepped out of eternity into time, and He says He created everything, and He made man in His own image and likeness. What about that one that says, you're my sons and daughters, saith the Lord? What about that? That ought to pump folks up. No, what we've been trying to sell people is emotions. We're trying to sell people in an environment. We know if we get the environment right, people like that and they like to go, and then you build an organization. You get the numbers right and everybody's happy and it looks like we're doing something for God. We're building His kingdom. I'm going to submit to you, that's not building the kingdom of God, because you're not building a relationship. Building the kingdom is about relationship. It's about you and I getting to know who God is. And God wants to spend time with me. He proves it in a new covenant. He says, I don't want to live in those temples anymore. I don't want to live in them tabernacles. I want to move in you. Yes. You want to be with me? I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm sick. I'm unable. He says, I know that's all those things are correct, but I'll come in and I'll get you healed. I'll get you whole. I'll make you able. I'll do those things for you. How many want Him to fix it for you? Well, He wants to. I'm free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the... I'm reading this again because I done read Romans in the series three times. Romans 8. I said, Lord, why I'm reading it again? He said, because they didn't understand what it means there when you say, for what the law could not do. What the law could not do. What law? The law under the Hagar, Ishmael, bondage covenant, could not do in that it was weak because it was a product of the flesh. Yahweh sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law. Did I change laws here? No, same thing. The church went wrong when we thought the old covenant was done away with. We closed the book and went on and we tried to, what are you going to do? You got to come up with something. What He wrote in my heart was the same thing He wrote on tablets of stone. The thing that's new is He didn't write it on tablets of stone. Now He's got it on my heart. It's the same stuff. He didn't change what He wrote. He calls it the righteousness of the law. Let me see that. Man, if we could have got that a long time ago, I'm just wondering. Might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. We don't walk after the old covenant, which is under Hagar. We don't walk after that. That was the one instituted at Mount Sinai. We don't walk after that one, but after the Spirit, the one instituted through Sarah and Isaac under the covenant of promise. How many see that? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So as long as you submit to the old covenant and rituals and all those things, you're going to be a product of that. You can't do something by way of dressing, by acting out, by sacrificing a lamb. You can go get a lamb, you can raise it to 1 year old and sacrifice it. It won't do a bit of good because that system's over. We're to remember that system because it institutes prophetically the Messiah is our Passover lamb. That's why we're to remember it. He didn't throw that away. Folks said, well, the Passover's over, we're going to do something new. Well, you're going to find you something. The enemy's going to see to it that you come up with a concept and you'll be participating in that concept. But it's an idol worship. And how does Yahweh react to idol worship? He said, I don't want no part of that. It becomes unclean to you. I mean, see that. That's the difference. That's the separation. Now watch this. For to be carnally minded is? The word carnal is fleshly. To be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many want that? Life and peace. Amen? Because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it cannot be, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. Notice that. So the old covenant was there, but who kept it? Who could keep the law? No one. Christ came along, and he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of Elohim could be revealed in us. So what he had to do is he had to obey the Father. It had to be the only way you can do it. It's not, it couldn't be done because Yeshua proved it could be done. But how many kept it before he came? None. For all sin. How did he keep it? Perfect relationship. That's how he kept it. A perfect relationship. He knew the things God wanted, the things God liked, the things that he didn't like. And he said, I'm not going to do the things you don't like, and the things you like, I'm going to do. That sounds easy when you say it fast. But when you're living in real time, come Monday, and you know, but listen, let me tell you what helps you. The more you know what he likes, and the more you study what he likes, the more it's going to be where you challenge yourself and say, I'm quitting that. How many ever quit something that you used to do that you don't do no more? There you go. You're good at it. We can do it. But we didn't challenge ourselves to do it. We didn't think it was possible. When it first came up, some people looked at this as impossible. This is crazy stuff. But you went and done it. And now you feel better for it because you're being obedient to the Lord. And do you feel empty that you quit doing it? No, you're full, more full, because what you got out of you, he came in and just flooded that area and overwhelmed you in that area. That's what happened to me. He overwhelmed me in that area. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim if you're in the flesh. That's why we got to be under the new covenant. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, the new covenant. If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, he is none of his. It's clear. And if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's very important because that's the, we'll use the word in a little bit, the propitiation. Christ is the propitiation. So, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also do what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I mean, thank God for that. That's what happens when you're under the new covenant. You get a quickening by the same Spirit that raised Yeshua from the dead. Why did he die? Because he had to submit to the old covenant. The old covenant is what killed Yeshua. He bore our iniquities and our transgressions. We broke those commands. He didn't, but he bore all them. The old covenant said he has to die. And he died. But that same Spirit. He died, but what was written in his heart? Torah. The commandments of God. So the father looked, you think you can stay dead? If you got that written in your heart, it's impossible for you to stay dead. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. He tells us what it is. But if there's no sin, then it can't hold you. Couldn't hold Yeshua. What happens when we covered? Oh, he's the propitiation of our sins. He covers. He atones for. Our sins are not seen, even though we have committed them. How many will say amen to that? We have committed them, but our sins have been covered by the blood of Messiah, and now we have the hope of resurrection. Amen? Thanks be to God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. No getting out. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How many thank God for that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How many see that? Very important. So I wanted to point that out to you so you'd see it. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are His children. How many thank God for that? And so these are important principles for us to see. Verse 17, if children, then heir of Yahweh, joint heirs with Messiah, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. How many see that? How many know the creature gets delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of Elohim? That's why resurrection is important. Right there. We get delivered from the bondage of corruption. What happens when a person dies? They return back to the dust from which they were created. There's no doubt about it. We've seen it. The living proof is that the scripture is correct. We go to the graveyards and there they are. They're filling up. You go and bust those graves open and people are returning to the dust. That's the Bible says that, and that's exactly what we know without a doubt happens. And there have been loved ones that you've loved and held dear, and they've taken that same path. I'm going to take that same path. Should the Lord tarry, we're going to take that same path. But let me tell you something, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage. The bondage of what? Corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of Elohim. You know why the resurrection happens for those that have Torah written in their hearts? Because we're sons and daughters of Elohim, and he won't have a son nor a daughter of his stay in that state. In that corruption. It may be for a while, but you won't stay there. Christ was there for a while, but he didn't stay there. And matter of fact, he had a promise, a little greater than us, because he didn't sin. He said, you won't see corruption. We don't have that promise. We just won't be left in corruption. If you're not left in corruption, means you're going to see it. But you don't get left there. That's I thank God for that glorious scripture. Amen? Wow. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits of the Spirit. We have that. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of what? Our body. We ain't making this stuff up. You read it again and you go, oh, now I see. That's why we're having to read it again. Jeremiah 31, verse 31, we'll read it again. We started with this last night. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32, not according to the covenant. What covenant? The old covenant. Not according to the old covenant. Going to be different. Going to be new. What he calls it? You know, if the Bible calls it new, you know what I believe. It's new, not renewed. There's a lot of stuff going on that folks are teaching and preaching on a renewed covenant. It's not a renewed covenant. It's a new covenant. It has the principles of Torah as its foundation, because God don't change his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, what I state, is going to be the same. How many know God don't have to change his word in order to bring about the promises that he made? What he's bringing to change is he's taking us from what was subject to death and bondage under the Hagar Mount Sinai covenant, bringing us to a new covenant, which is now has freedom, and it's by promise. If I promise you something again, you got to trust me that I'm going to do it. That's faith. If I promise you something, you got to trust me that I'm going to do it. If you tell me, go on and take the car and just pay me. And I say, okay, I promise to pay you next week. So I take the car. Now you got a whole week to think, I wonder if that joke is going to pay me. That's what's going to come to you. I guarantee you it's going to come to you. But you got to say, no, I know him. I know him. Notice that. I know him. He's going to do it. He's a man of his word. He said he would. He's going to do it. Next week comes, the guy shows up and gives you. What it took you to wait that week without calling every 5 minutes? Faith? What if the Lord tells you he's going to do something, but you got to wait for it? Are you okay with that? If you got Torah written in your heart, you in that relationship, you know that he's going to do what he promised. It may not seem like it. Sometimes you're going to have a tough day. Sometimes you're not going to feel well in your body, but he's still faithful. That's how you have to see it. You tell him that. Say, Lord, I'm not feeling so well today, but you're my healer. Well, ain't the devil in hell wants to hear you say that. They can't stand when you say that. But you know why you're saying it? You have a relationship with him, and you know who he is. And you want to say it, even if, listen, a lot of times we think people need to hear what we say. You need to hear what you need to say. Sometimes your own ears need to hear. You got to say it loud enough. Sometimes you got to say, I'm healed. Amen. And then you go on and you live like you are. Sometimes you got to hear it with your own ears. And the reason you're saying that is you're not trying to make something up that doesn't exist. The healer's in you. But we think maybe if I go somewhere, that's an old covenant mentality. You got to go where he's at. That's where he used to be. He used to dwell in temples and tabernacles. He used to dwell between the cherubims, but not no more. You are the temple. He dwells in you. Sometimes, we look like this to talk to him. Maybe we ought to do this. Say, Lord, I just want you to know today, we're going to have a good day today. Gets a little more personal, don't it? Like that, he's up there, and I hope he comes down and helps me. But, man, here we go, Lord. We're about to get this thing done. A little more personal. Well, let's talk about that. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hands to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. I was a husband. And when he makes that reference, he's saying, I was faithful to you. I did not fool around on you. I was a husband to you. Think about that. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law, my what? My law in their inward parts. That's the mind. And write it in their hearts. Think about that. What is he going to put in there? His law. Not something different. What did he give them at Mount Sinai? The law. But there, it was something. He said, don't even come to the mountain and touch it, because if you touch it, you'll reach out your hand, you're going to die. You're not ready for this encounter. I don't know if you realize it. A lot of times we live with an Old Testament mindset, and we're still trying to reach out for an encounter. When Christ came and died and paid the price, there's nothing that's stopping you from an encounter with God. At one time, Moses had to go in the holy place to have a face-to-face with God. You can have a face-to-face today. And I'm convinced, you know what's going to change us? Not that we get a new band. Not that we paint the building. Not that we trim the lights, dim them up, and get everybody in the mood. That ain't going to help you. What's going to help you is get a face-to-face encounter with the one who lives on the inside of you. I'm about to get on my intimacy message. I got to slow down, Lord. I'm slowing down. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. I highlighted this. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. They will all know me, saith Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That's a new covenant promise. Forgive their iniquities. Under the old covenant, at best, it was just covered up. At best. I don't know if you get what forgive your iniquities mean, but it's like you never done it. That ought to do something for somebody. How can I do wrong and then be made right as if I never done the wrong? That's a new covenant promise. That's why people have a hard time with relationship. It's hard in a relationship, in a husband-wife relationship, when there's been a trust issue. It's always hard because we don't know what it means. We have no concept what it means to forgive. We only can learn it from the Father. When I go to God, He don't say, hey, yeah, by the way, you remember that time? When I was loving you and keeping you and protecting you and healing you, and all you did was what you did, never happens. Because He says, I'm going to forgive you. And when He forgives you, it's wiped clean. Slate's clean. We ought to practice a little bit more of that amongst each other. You know why you get trouble with worship? Do you want to have a clean slate? And you want to reach out to God when you hadn't reached out to the person that you don't have a clean slate with. Clean it up. It's okay. Well, they said this. Who cares what people say about you? The problem is, you know what magnifies what people say? Because you highlight it every day. Doesn't matter what they say. You got to walk in that forgiveness that God walks in with us. I've done wrong to Him. I've hurt Him. I did it. David said, what I did it on my own will. I did it. Nobody made me do it. I and only I have sinned against you. And he had to come to grips with that reality. He did that. And once he realized what God done for him, things began to move in the right direction. I mean, see that. I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. If God tells me He will remember something no more, you know what I believe? Exactly what He said. He remembers them no more. The Torah is about intimacy with Elohim. Now, this ought to be familiar to you. The Torah is the nature and character of Elohim. It's His likes and dislikes. It's the way He talks to us. It teaches us relationship with Him through prayer and reading His word. The Torah is a beautiful facilitator between Elohim and His people. The Torah produces something inside us that is so important. If we do not have it, we will not make it. You won't make it. It's what we used to. Well, you know, in the olden times, the way we used to do it, and that's how I got saved. Well, guess what? If the Lord would have come back in the olden times, you'd have been in good shape. But He hadn't come back yet. What are you doing now? Let me tell you what we're doing. We stopped at a false finish line, and we think we've arrived, and that's what we want. We want to recreate what used to be. Well, let me tell you, I can remember. I remember when I was a child growing up in church. And there was moments and there was times that God come and visited us, no doubt whatsoever. You can feel His presence. You knew it was real. That was not, and let me tell you, that's what we needed for that time to get through what we were going through. And at those moments, if we could have froze that moment and had the Lord return, we'd have all been in good shape. Because at that moment, we was giving him everything we knew best to do. But here's what happened. Time went on. And the Lord saw fit, you know, it's not the time. It's not proper yet. But it's coming. And we waited on that promise. I'm going to return. And we've heard message after message. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And in the process of waiting, in the process of that time where you're waiting, is where the enemy comes and he tries to discourage you. And we don't want, what we want to do is go back and live in the freeze frame idea. Yet the Lord has moved on. And that's what happens to so many people in the church world today. We don't believe God can give us anything of a new revelation of what he says in his word. Do you honestly believe that when you read it the first time that you understood it fully? Is that what you're telling yourself? Because let me tell you, if you have, you're kidding yourself. Who can read it for the first time and get everything it's saying? We need to be assisted by the Spirit of the Lord. And here we are now, in this, we're living in this day, right now. What have you allowed from the Spirit of God as far as revelation to come to you so you see the Scripture more clear? We're afraid. Fear comes. We don't see it. I always tell folks, line it up with the text. Don't be afraid of truth, of God revealing himself. If it's him, it'll line up. If it's not, it won't line up. It might take some time for us to find out, but we ought to be at least in a position to say, you know what, Lord? I want what your word says. I want to live that truth. Lord, I'm asking you to give me revelation and understanding to see what I need to do. The whole theme of the Bible is about relationship. It's about you and I getting to know him better. That should be your journey. Until he returns, that should be your journey. My question is, how much more do you know about him from the time you first got saved? How much more do you know about him? Do you know his likes and dislikes? Do you know that the Torah is a beautiful facilitator between a relationship that God wants to have with you and I? It's beautiful. In a marriage, if you don't communicate, koinonia, you will end up divorced. No relationship can survive without communication, koinonia. That's why Yahweh gives us his Torah to communicate with us. It's inevitable. And how many have I seen? I've seen a lot more than sitting in this building. Go through this process. No communication, divorced from God. And we can go ask why. We can go and say, well, if it wouldn't have been for this one or that one, it has nothing to do with it. We can point fingers and say, well, it's that brother's fault or that sister's fault. All that is a bunch of excuses. Let me tell you something. If it's really meant and you really mean it, you're going to communicate with him. And the thing that has to break off of us is how are we able to match? Are we able to get close to Yahweh? If not, we have to make sure that we let him shape us until we fit right in there. That's what he wants to do. That's what you communicate. The two people that meet each other, they meet each other and they love each other. And they'll come and, you know, they'll say, well, Pastor, you know, we love each other. We believe that we're meant to be. All right? Well, I already know that's all feelings and emotions. Now, when God comes in, he can help you. He can work on two people and make them just flow. It's just amazing what happened. But there ain't no way at that moment you say it that you think you got what you got. You're going to go through something. You know, if you've been just met and everything's going good and you still got the butterflies in your stomach, that ain't nothing. Wait till you get in an argument and kill the butterflies. And the butterflies are all laying dead on the ground. There goes your butterflies. What do you do now? You grab each other and say, we're going to make this thing happen. It's going to happen because we're going to communicate with each other. You got to be understanding. You got to look and communicate that. That's what happens. People come to church and they get the spiritual butterflies. And I'm telling you, they are wide open. When the song starts, they up first. When the song ends, they still up. They want another song. And let me tell you, they're wide open. They're toting the Bible. They're reading. All of a sudden, the one day comes and the enemy attacks them and their butterflies die. They don't have that feeling no more. You know what they feel like? They've been deserted. And if their association was a person, that person's at fault. I'm going to ask this question to you. Do you believe it's possible for God, what he says in his word, to desert you for no reason? All right, if you don't believe that, that he'll desert you, because he says in his word he wouldn't do it, then why do we feel deserted? Why in life sometimes you feel like God left me? It's a tough spot I'm in. You say that might not mean nothing to you. Let me just tell you, let me give you a few scenarios. When you got a wife, well, all she knew was that husband. And then somehow he took sick. And he wound up dying early. That wife feels deserted. I don't care how you slice it, that's how she feels. That's a tough spot. The goal of our teaching here is to help her never feel deserted. We may not be able to answer why that happened, but she needs to know God's there. Now, if we can get that message out, we're preaching right. She needs to know that God ain't going to desert you. Now, we can't even begin to imagine how many times a man or a woman, whatever it may have prayed for healing. It never happened. Meant it deep down. Wept over it. Meant it. Never happened. You feel deserted. I don't care. You can kid yourself all you want. The truth is, you feel like you've been deserted. That's how you feel. And you know what happens? The enemy comes and says, you're right. You've been deserted. You've been deserted. You've been not. God did not hear you. And if he cared, if he really cared for you, if he really cared, why wouldn't he give you this tree also? He's holding out on you. That's what he's doing. He's holding out on you. And you know what happens? Many people have went other places to see if there was something else. And they've lost out. I'm going to just tell you today. Stuff happens. Bad stuff happens to good people. And God ain't deserting you. Your butterflies die. They're gone. You trying to figure it out. People are really hurting. We ought to be teaching the scripture. All this stuff, I can't understand the nonsense. From the time my eyes open till I go to bed at night, I'm thinking in these terms. God, what's happening around us? The world is in trouble. It's really in trouble. So the economy's better. Does that mean the world is still in trouble? Let's not be fooled. Well, I got more money than I've ever had. What does that mean? It's in trouble. We need the word of God. We got to have this new covenant understanding. We got to make sure that we understand that the laws of God are written in our hearts. And the butterflies are dead. What are you going to do? You have to look inside. You have to say, God, I know you're real. My butterflies are dead, but I know you're real. And let me tell you, that's the point where he knows that your relationship. But how are you going to know he's real if you hadn't read what he's communicated to you? How are you going to know that? How are you going to know if you haven't studied the scripture where it says you're going to go through these things? But don't worry, I'm there. If you haven't read that, you're going to feel like, well, I don't have anything. I'm trying. And look what happens. My butterflies die. That's what happens in relationship. No communication. And that gooey feeling goes away. It's gone. Now it's real. What are you going to do? You hang in there. And you know this is a covenant. This is a promise. And we're going to see it through. You got to make it through some tough times. That's when you know what's real. You know, young folks running around talking about, we're going to be good. We're good. Yeah, you'll be good. Wait till you have your first employee call you up without any notice and say, you are fired. Then you go home and tell that wife and those babies that. Your butterflies are dead. You know what you do? If you study in Torah, if you understand New Covenant, you gather up that wife. You gather up them babies and you say, one thing's for certain. God never failed us and he will never fail us. That's what Yahweh's been to us. He said, I was a husband to you. That's what a real husband will do. We'll make it. We're going to come out of this. It might look tough now. And you know what? In those moments, you might go through some stuff. We have this happening too much in our world today. Professed believers, quitters, and give up. Everything. Don't quit. Don't give up. Yeah, it might be tough for you now. You know how many times I've had people tell me, well, you know, I just don't feel nothing anymore when I go to church. Well, is that what you were coming for? Coming to feel? Don't come to feel. If you want to feel something, we'll move you in that seat right there because the air hits right there. That's not what we're here. We're not here to feel anything. We're here to get a relationship, a koinonia going, a communion, a communication going with the Most High. Because there's going to be stuff that's going to happen to you. And it may not happen to you. And I thought about this the other day. I said, God, I think about it. I think about, I've been very fortunate. Very fortunate. But this past Mother's Day came, there were some people who didn't have their mama. This past Father's Day come, there were some didn't have their fathers. And I'm putting this together, and I say, God, that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to destroy people's mind. He wants them to think somehow God deserted them. But I say, Father, you've never left us. That's what New Covenant Torah understanding does. That's why this teaching, I told you from the day one, I said, this will be the most important teaching that I've ever done in all my ministry. You've never heard anything like this series is going to do for you. Because it changed and liberated my mind from the bondages of old mentality thinking. You don't realize how much old covenant practice we still participate in. And then God says, I got you out of that. Can you get this? I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. Who does that kind of stuff? Listen, we got people trying to live together still holding grudges. Married still holding grudges. Can't figure it out. You can't do that. That's impossible. He said, I won't do that to you. And guess what? He was a husband, perfect husband to us. And we run around on him. Run around on him. And what does he do? He says, I love you. But you're going to run around. You go on and run around. But if you're going to be underneath this covering, you can't run around. He sets the standard. Let me ask you a question. Should we do it? Who would approve if y'all heard pastors running around on Pastor Charlotte? He's seeing another woman. Who would think that's appropriate? None of you would. Then why do we do that to God? Is it appropriate because it's God and he should understand he's more forgiven? No, it's not appropriate. He's faithful to us. He don't run around and mock. He said, you're going to be my people. If you're his people, he ain't looking for another people. You're his people. Think about that. He's a husband. He's married to this thing. That is important. Very important. My prayer is that you'll see this. That this will become real to you. In 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our heart, looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. The word of life. Think about that. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. We're talking about eternal life is very important. I want you to notice this. That which was seen, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. Why did he declare it? That we can have koinonia. That we can have koinonia. That we can have this opportunity. That's why it's not where you got to go to a place and tell somebody and they go to God and tell God for you. That's the old covenant. We still have churches today do that same thing. You got to go to the priest, you got to tell the priest, and you say so many prayers. That's an old covenant mentality. No different if we done it here. We may not have that title, but if you come here and I'm supposed to be the one that has to communicate to God for you, same mentality. That's not the way. Or if a pastor sit up and says, well, what you got to do is you got to give what you got, give it to me. If you give me what you got, and I'm so anointed that God's one day going to bless you. That's the old covenant mentality. You run from that. Give them what? Are you serious? If you're going to give anything, you got to give it not of compulsion, but you do it as from a free, charitable, it's something you love to do because you're doing it for him, not for somebody else. All these guys getting up, making these promises, God's going to get you out of debt. We're going to have a debt-free seed thing. You're going to watch. Go ahead and watch it. You get your debt-free seed in, and all of a sudden you might have a little breakthrough in your finances, and you say, boy, that thing works. It works. It really does. And so you associate with that. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are doing that. Right now, they're doing that. It's not what the scripture teaches. Listen, he's teaching communication. He's teaching fellowship. Get a relationship with the Lord. You want your finances right? You hang out with God, he'll get you straight. He'll straighten you up because he'll say, you can't do that. That's not good. And he'll teach you all those principles. And truly our fellowship, our koinonia, is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Messiah. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. How many want full joy? Get your koinonia right, your joy is going to be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. How many see that? If we say that we have fellowship or koinonia with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So if we still participate in that, then we lie. How many understand that? But if you say, I've asked you, are you having a relationship? Are you in a good, solid relationship with Yahweh? Yeah. And then you don't do the things that Yahweh is telling you to do, then I question that your yeah is correct. See, we can say whatever we want. Focus on. You say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, we're going to tell. We'll be able to tell. How many know how we can tell? But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship or koinonia, one with another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Very simple stuff. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation. How many see that? He is the cover. He's the one that fixed it for us. It's his blood for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I mean, see that. Propitiation, that by which God is rendered propitious, by which it becomes consistent with his character and government to pardon and bless the sinner. The propitiation does not procure his love or make him loving. It only renders it consistent for him to exercise his love towards sinners. Without the blood covering us, God cannot move in. Can't. He don't move in because he's more loving. He's already loving. Being covered by the blood don't make God love you more. It makes him have access to you. And what does he say he does under the new covenant? Because you've been forgiven, he moves in. By the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Then what does that do? It creates a place for him to dwell. He moves in. Now, he's not being more loving. He's already loving. Not that he wants you more. He already wanted you more. Showed that he wanted us. But he can be there because of that. So we can never forget the price that's been paid in order for God to live in us. Never forget that. Is this helping you? And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do we know him? See, folks say, I know him. I'm with him. Do you keep his commandments? If you ask somebody, do you keep Torah? What? Who's that? Same thing. Do you keep his commandments? He said, I know him and keep not his... He that says, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar. Now, if you went around saying that to people, that'd probably get you in trouble. Don't say it. Just say what he said. Let's not kid ourselves. If we're not keen to keep the laws of God, we're lying. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Perfected is an ongoing thing. The love is perfected as we keep his commandments. Are we going to get them all right the first day? Probably not. But we're trying, and he knows if you're trying, and you keep doing it. How many can say you're better at things you used to be horrible at? I'm talking about serving God. You're better at them. You used to be horrible at them, but you're better. This is being perfected. It works. But in the process of it being perfected, you can get frustrated. But we're going to hang in there. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Right? No doubt about that. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. I write no new commandments. The old commandment, I'm still got the same commandment. It's just a different, I write it once on tablets of stone, but now I write it on the tables of your heart. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. How many thank God for that? The only way true light can shine is to have that relationship. The light shone, but it reflected off the face of Moses after he'd been in an encounter with God. Same veil is not taken away with the reading of the Torah. That's what he said. That's what Paul said. The same veil still remains with the reading of the Torah. But now, the true light has come. Where is it at? He's not trying to light you up like a bulb on the outside. He wants you to have a light on the inside. That light is lit here. You are the true light, the light of the world. It cannot be hid if it's coming out of your heart. How many understand that? Cannot be hid if it comes out your heart. I hope that you're seeing this. Exodus 33, verse 11, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto Yahweh, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way. Show me now the way, that I may what? Know thee. How many see that? Show me now the way, that I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. This was, he's hungry for this. And this is all outside, not inside, outside. He's in the tabernacle between the cherubims. All of that is happening. But look at Psalms 119. This is Gamal. 119:17-24. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Let me see that. Open thou mine eyes. How many need their eyes open? Sometimes we need our eyes open. We can't see what we have in front of us. We've got to have our eyes open. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Every one of these are the same thing, just said differently. Thy word, thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Same thing. Verse 20. My soul breaketh forth. But my soul breaketh for the longing that it had unto thy judgments. Same thing. At all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Are you seeing this? Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. How many notice that? Everything that's said in those few verses in Psalms 119 is all, everything's absolutely about the Torah. Understanding that. Yet, the word even said in most churches today, people go, oh, he said it again. And it's an absolute travesty to the church. We're handicapped because we don't get it. Because it's old to us. What's old is the way the covenant was instituted. One, the location was in tabernacles. The new covenant is in the heart. Think about that. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? What, I got a minute? Eight. She said eight. Glory. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? What's the anchor statement? Certainly not. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the what? Law. How are you going to know sin unless you have the law? Somebody said, well, I got the New Testament, the Brit Hadishah. Listen, let me just say it again. Romans 7:7. Paul says, I wouldn't know sin unless I had Torah. And yet we don't need it today? Serious. I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I wouldn't know it. I have that, so it tells me. But what we are different is now we have somebody who is the way maker. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it. You know, you don't feel it when your butterflies are dead. Let me tell you what the word says. He's working. Yes. He's doing it for you. You don't see it at the time, but God's got a greater reason for what's been happening. And he wants it to be revealed to you. Matthew 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Luke 6:43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Where they come from? The good treasures of his heart. I wonder what kind of treasures that is. Somebody say it for me again. Torah. Written in the heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me master, master, and do not the things which I say? I know this don't preach very well, but this is what it says. So let me tell you, from the abundance of the heart is what speaks. So when you speak, and what you say, what you do, what your belief system is going to be a direct result of what's written on the tables of your heart. Direct result. So how many want him to write his likes and dislikes on you? what he likes. Put it right there. Well, I don't care what anybody says. I know he's in my heart. Well, you can kid yourself all you want. Kid yourself all you want. He says a good tree brings forth good fruit. And a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Simple. So what am I bringing forth? Does it mean you're going to have some times that the harvest is not as good? Sure, you're going to have that. Sometimes even the fruit falls before it's time. You're going to go through all that. But it's still good. It just didn't turn out the way you wanted it. People's been through that. But if it's constantly evil, then something's wrong with that. And all you got to do is say, Lord, I don't want that. I want to live under this new covenant. Because if you live under the old, you shall surely die. There's no hope for the old covenant. But we're under the new covenant, where he comes and he changes all that for us. So next time we're here, I'm going to be on the Brit Hadishah again, new covenant components. We're going to talk about the second one, the mediator. Who's the mediator under the old covenant? Moses, Moshe. Who's the new mediator under the new covenant? Yeshua. How many thank God for that? That's where we'll go next time. So I got to at least this spot. It's a good stop point for us. My prayer is that you receive the words, the instructions today, that it'll help you. Not as we go along, we can take these things, meditate on them, take some time, read Psalms 119, starting in those verses and Gamaliel. Read that. It'll really help you. It's very important to continue to go over these things. I appreciate all of you for being here. I thank God for you. Is there anybody here need prayer for anything?